kind of talk about stuff on and off the court in Greenville, because there was that controversy outside the arena involving some protesters waving the Confederate flag in South Carolina. That issue rearing its ugly head again. But we'll start by talking about what happened on the court. A couple of good wins for Carolina that first weekend. Deb Stroman, thanks for joining us. And what do you make of Tar Heel basketball?
Well, I'll tell you, what an exciting time to be a Tar Heel, having that great win with men's basketball. And I do want to make note of the spring sport teams that are ranked in the top 10. This university, this athletic program, we have so much to be grateful for that 9 times out of 10, when you turn on a UNC athletic event, we're competing for a championship or some type of recognition at the conference level or even nationally. So a big shout out to our spring teams as well. But there's no doubt Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and all the Tar Heel Nation around the world excited about that big win over Arkansas by the men's basketball team. During this time of year, you're really looking at a veteran coach with a veteran team, and how far can they go? Most people are counting on us to beat Butler, but it should be a very, very competitive game. Rebounding, our percentage with rebounding is 44%, whereas Butler's is 32%, and assist 18% for Chapel Hill versus 13% for Butler. But I do believe the game's going to be very competitive.
And you can really look at that Arkansas game with the glass half full or half empty, because on the one hand, UNC did have that 17-point lead and blew it all, and that's the third time in 4 games they've done something like that, so that's got to be a concern. On the other hand, they were down 5 points with 3.5 minutes left, everything going Arkansas's way, and they were able to dig down and find that reserve and hang on, and not only hang on, but turn the tide with everything seeming to go against them in the clutch and come back and get that really, really big win. So what do you take most from that Arkansas game? Are you glass half full or glass half empty on this?
I'm definitely glass full, and I'll say three quarters, more than half.
All right.
Because you just had a calmness on that team, even though most of the arena was fired up to see UNC get the upset. Thank heavens a lot of people had not arrived for that later game, the South Carolina fans. But I just saw a calmness out there. I was very confident that the Tar Heels were going to win. No doubt Arkansas played well. They really, really gave everything that UNC could handle. But with the calmness of having the veteran of Joel Berry and Kennedy Meeks and Isaiah coming out there and just playing very, very strong and hitting some free throws. So I just felt that North Carolina was definitely going to win that game. But in terms of Butler, they are very strong. They beat Villanova twice this year, Indiana. And interesting, they have a transfer guard named Tyler Lewis from NC State, and he leads the teams in assists. So you know he's going to have a chip on his shoulder to beat the Tar Heels in this big game. Also, an ACC team has knocked Butler out of the tournament the past 2 seasons, Notre Dame and Virginia. So they're going to have an axe to grind, so to speak, to upset the Tar Heels as well.
It's going to be a good one. Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman again, Keenan Flagler Business School. I know you just said you expect to see the Tar Heels beat Butler. How far do you think they're going to go?
I liked North Carolina in the Final Four. I do believe that if we were to win, that having seen Kentucky earlier this year, and as we know, March Madness, the game slows down a bit, I think we can beat Kentucky. UCLA, no doubt, lots of players on there who will get their shot at the NBA. But I think the veteran experience of our team should be able to overcome UCLA. I'm not going to go beyond Final Four, but I feel comfortable that the Tar Heels will make it to Phoenix.
All right, sounds good. Speaking again with Dr. Deb Stroman, and I mentioned while all that was going on and going back to the first 2 rounds there in Greenville, while all of that was going on inside the arena, outside the arena, there was just another iteration of the same old South Carolina controversy involving the Confederate flag. In this case, you had the NCAA avoiding championship events in South Carolina because the state flew the battle flag on the state house grounds. They finally pulled that down in 2015 after the Charleston shooting, and now we've got championship events there again. But NCAA goes to South Carolina, and the first thing that happens is you've got a couple of protesters who go across the street to the parking lot, the parking deck, go up on the roof, and they're waving this giant thing right across the street from the arena. So what do we make of that and the fact that that issue just will not go away?
Well, it's very disturbing, and I'll start off by saying it's not just what I'll say, quote-unquote, backwards South Carolina or Mississippi who continues to fly their flag. NCAA does not have championship events in Mississippi. But locally, Orange County, the school board here, has refused to have an open discussion on the flying of the Confederate flag or the display of the Confederate flag in our local schools, K through 12. And the Chapel Hill Carrboro School Board, again, the Confederate flag is allowed to be flown. So it's very, very disconcerting to residents, students. I know a lot of UNC people, students, faculty, and staff have been at the school board meetings around this as well. People are very upset and confused by the ability of those who take this flag, who is definitely a symbol of pain, of hurt, of racism, to allow it to be displayed in public settings. Now, if people knew their history or people would remember their history, the Confederate flag, it was not the Confederate States' official flag. Now, General Robert Lee, he did fly it in his unit up in Northern Virginia. But I did some research and even found that General Lee, he distanced himself from this divisive symbol. And he did not allow, he did not want it to be flown after the war was over. He said it was very, very smart for the country coming together to not keep open the sores of war. And so there were no flags flown at his funeral. So for those who see that flag as heritage, I think we really need to look at our history. And if you want to use it in terms of it's my right as an American citizen, sure. But in terms of public displays and certainly not in our schools, I personally believe that it is definitely disturbing.
And correct me if I'm wrong on this, because I know you know a little bit more about Southern history specifically than I do, but the Confederate battle flag wasn't the prevailing symbol of the Confederacy at all until the middle of the 20th century, when it gets brought back as a symbol in response to and in response against the civil rights movement. So it becomes in the 30s, 40s, and 50s a symbol of a heritage of segregation specifically, and not even to do so much with the Civil War.
And you're exactly right. But again, this is where we're getting into these alternative facts.
Right.
And if you keep putting something out more and more, some people will believe it. But even if it does represent your own personal belief or family beliefs or your region, when you're talking about how we take care of one another in the United States, our democracy, if someone were to come to me and said, Debbie, you know, what you're wearing on your armband or the socks that you wear, they represent something that's very painful to me, and they could articulate that, as a human being, decency, I would say it's not worth it. And so not only have we heard my community, African Americans, Black Americans, say that it's painful, it hurts, but we've been joined by all Americans of all ethnicities, of all nationalities, saying this is bothersome, and it causes controversy, it causes unnecessary conflict. Will you please stop? And so now we're talking about someone's morals, someone's ability to be kind. We're talking about humanity. I'm also reminded of the Nazi symbol. From my understanding and research, that Nazi symbol is actually an African symbol, but yet it's been co-opted. It was used by Hitler and the Third Reich to use it, and now there's no way I would put on a Nazi symbol now and say, oh, it's my African heritage. So at some point, we have to use the government, because oftentimes when you're talking about the the improvement, the respect for those who are oppressed, you have to go to the government for legal redress. You have to use the government for policy and for law to change the hearts of some. And if you can change their hearts, at the very least, you have a law on the books that says you will not hurt other people.
I got to let you go. But again, Dr. Deb Stroman, Keenan Flagler Business School, thank you so much.
Thank you.